kids, if you have your Bibles, did y'all catch that, you big kids? Yeah. Don't you get your Bibles out? I just want to encourage you. I know I put scripture up on the PowerPoint, but also today I'm actually going to read from my Bible because there's a passage that I'm going to read today that would have took up a whole bunch of slides, so I'm just going to read it from the Word. I want you to start bringing your Bibles, okay? I'm old school, so I've got the black book with me this morning. You can use your phone. I know some of you do it that way, whatever way you get there, but I want you to start learning where the books of the Bible are at and how to get to them and all that. So start bringing your Bible. And I usually try, you know me, I use all translations, but I try to stick with the New King James Version is what I try to stick with, and that's where most of the scriptures are going to be at today. But I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 112 and Matthew chapter 21. We're in a series and we're called The Established Heart. These are all standalone messages, so even if you've missed one, that's okay, but I encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can catch them on our podcast at hfchurch.com. This is called The Established Heart, and this is developing the trust in God that stands the test of time. And so we've been going through, there's seven major revelations that every believer should know. And I'm not talking just about head knowledge and all that. I'm talking really have a heart knowledge of this, a major revelation of this, and walking this out in your own personal life. We're going to be talking about the reality of redemption, the reality of the new birth, the reality of being made the righteousness of God, the reality of being God indwelt. And then today, I put a little asterisk there by number five, is we're going to talk about the reality of the authority in the name of Jesus, that name that's above all names. And every knee is going to bow to that name. And then number six, we talked about this last week, the reality of the integrity of God's Word. And then number seven is the reality of the God kind of faith residing in you. And so if you have your bulletin and you're a note taker, I don't mind at all emailing my notes to anybody. If you know me, because I'm a teacher, we're going to look at a lot of scripture today, and you're going to hear this foundation. And my prayer is that you get this revelation of the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Every believer is to have it. It's not just for a select few. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for leaders and churches. Every believer has authority in the name of Jesus, and God wants you to operate that in your life. So here's the four questions that we're going to look at. If you want to write them down, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you'll have scripture references that you can write down out beside them. But the first question that I'm going to look at, that we're going to look at this morning through the Word, is where do we get it? And it is authority. Where do we get it? Where do we get it? Number two is how do we get it? How do we get it? Number three is how do we lose it? Because you can lose it. And number four is how do we use it? How do we use it? Now, when I say how do we lose it, I'm not talking about our salvation, okay? I'm talking about the authority that you can walk in as a believer here on the earth. You can lose it. We're going to look at that here in just a second. So, number one, where do we get it? Number two, how do we get it? Number three, how do we lose it? And number four, how do we use it? And Psalms 112 is our foundational scripture, and it's verses 1 through 10. It says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established." There's the name of our series. His heart is established, and where it's established is in the Word of God. "He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." And our main scriptures that we're honing in on are verses 7 and 8 in Psalms 112, where it says, this person that walks in these revelations, and he has his heart established on the Word of God, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Now, the first, this revelation that we're going to look at today is a revelation of the authority, the reality of the authority in the name of Jesus. And I want to read this scripture so that you understand Jesus is the one where we get our authority from, his name. Mark 1:27. Actually, the authority comes from the Father to Jesus and then to us. But Mark 1:27 says, "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" They'd never seen anything like this before. The church people, when Jesus came on the scene, book of the Bible, in one of the Gospels says that he even taught with authority. He taught the scriptures with authority, like I wrote them, because he was the Word. And I'm just going to give you a couple of books. I like to give you resources that you can read on your own. This is one of the best books I've ever read on the believer's authority. It's called The Believer's Authority. It's only 70 pages long. It's by Kenneth E. Hagin. All right, Kenneth E. Hagin has went home to be with the Lord, but he has a son named Kenneth W. Hagin. All right, so it's not his book. It's Kenneth E. Hagin, The Believer's Authority, and you can get it on Amazon. Another great book about authority that we've used here at our church before and I've taught from it is called Undercover by John Bevere. That's a really good book on authority as well. So, and this is a revelation that we all need to get, all right? I'm still growing in it. There's been times I've operated in it and didn't even know it, and then I started learning about God's authority, that every believer has it, and it's something that you grow in. We have it, you have it, but you grow in it, right? Okay? And we all need to get this revelation, all right? Because it'll help set your homes in order, set your life in order when you get, understand authority, the chain of command in God's kingdom. And so the first thing that we're going to look at is this: where do we get it? Where do we get it? And I just want you to, you don't have to turn to all these scriptures, okay? You can write them down. I know I'm going to have to go quick because I've got a lot of scripture I want to download to you today. Don't you just like, Pastor Mark, I just like to feed you the Word of God, all right? I'm going to force feed it to you today, all right? Here we go. Luke 9, verse 1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them," say gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So it came from Jesus, all right? Where do we get it? We're going to keep going here. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" So Jesus is basically saying, hey, God's authority has been, the Father's authority has been given to me. Now I'm giving it to you, all right? And so authority is given. It is not earned. I want you to get that. If you're a believer, Jesus' authority has been given to you in his name. Bible says all you have to do is believe. Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow them that believe. Believe, not the church leader, not the pastor, a believer. So that authority's been given to you. John 12, verse 49, he says, For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus was constantly listening to the Father. And whatever the Father said and did, that's what Jesus did. That's the way we're supposed to be operating our lives, too. All right, we're supposed to have that kind of relationship with the Father. John 14, 10 says, Jesus said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." I want to just ask you this: does the Father dwell in you? If you're saved, the Father dwells in you, so you can do the same works that Jesus did here on the earth, if you flow in that authority. John 16, and you have to believe it by faith, all right? The enemy will try to, I promise you, this subject, what I'm teaching you today, is one of the number one things that the enemy will fight you on, because he does not want you to know who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to know the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. He'll fight it tooth and nail, I promise. And the reason why I want to bring this, a lot of people are ignorant of this. I was ignorant of this because I've never been taught this. All right, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." All right, so I want to teach you this, and I'm just I'm hitting the highlights of this today, and I hope you get these books that I mentioned so you can dig deeper in this subject on the believer's authority. But where the body of Christ, this is a problem in the body of Christ because of lack of teaching, is when you go to, and I'm not knocking other churches, and I'm not saying that we got it all figured out, okay, when I say this, but because I'm going to talk about the big C, the big body of Christ, the big church today, most churches just teach on, and hear me out, don't throw stones at me when I say this, because there's power in the cross, right? Okay, that's how you come to salvation. But that's all people hear is about the cross, all right? It goes further. There was Pentecost. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when people start looking at you with eyes this big around because they don't understand it. They've never read the book of Acts. And then there was the ascension. Jesus went to be with the Father. And then there's the throne. And we need to know about the throne. Because the Bible says if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're seated with him at the throne, at the right hand of the Father. That's your position right now. Your position, I want you to understand this. If you're saved, your position is not at the cross. Your position is at the throne. Woo, that's good. That was worth the drive this morning, Dad. All right, so, yes, thank God. So John 16, verse 13 through 15 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, this is who's helping us on the earth right now, is the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you see the chain of command in the Trinity? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all right? They operate in authority. They operate in that chain of command. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take care of mine and declare it to you. I tried to go into the military, into the Air Force, because whenever I was 18, I watched Top Gun. Okay? I did. I was like, and I was dating Jade at the time, and I was like, she's fixing to marry a fighter pilot. I am going, all right? There's no way you get all this into a fighter jet, I promise you. But anyway, at that time in my life, they didn't have the corrective eye surgery and all that, and I wore glasses. And so the Air Force guy had to tell me, you're not a candidate because you got to have 20/20 vision to fly one of them things. And I'm like, well, darn. So that ruined my whole deal of going into the military. But God had different plans. The reason why I'm saying this is because I don't know why this just hit me up here this morning. This was nowhere in my notes. But I told somebody yesterday evening, we were talking to somebody, and I just mentioned, I said, you know what, I think that every young man needs to go, we ought to have something in this nation that every young man ought to have to go to at least 1 year of military after school. And the whole reason is so that they'll understand authority and the chain of command. And I think our nation would be a whole lot better place if we had that, and I know some of you that's been in the military will say, yeah, you know, and I really believe that. James 1, verse 17, moving right along, because I want you to understand, I'm trying to get across to every one of us that God's kingdom has a chain of command. And if you get out of that chain of command, life don't work. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven. You're saved, you're going to go to heaven, but your house will be out of order. Everything around you will just be out of order when you're not following this chain of command. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Authority is a gift given to us from the Father through Jesus, because it was something that we lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam fell, Adam and Eve. All right, so that's number one. Like I said, I'm just hitting... we could spend a whole series on this for months, so I'm just hitting the highlights of this today. The second thing is, how do we get it? How do we get it? And this is where I want you, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to read several scriptures from this passage, starting in verse 18, and I'm going to read down to verse 32, and because this is where Jesus is teaching his disciples how we actually get authority. It's very simple, but a lot of us miss it. And it says, verse 18, Matthew chapter 21, it says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away." I'll never forget the first time I read that. I was like, my gosh, Jesus, you talk about somebody being hangry. And, you know, when you read it, that's what comes out of it, you know, when you read it in the natural. But there's more here that Jesus is teaching his disciples. In verse 20 it says, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith,'" everybody say faith, "'and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.' Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching, and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" All right, so here's that authority question again. The religious people were asking Jesus how he's doing all this stuff. Verse 24 says, "But Jesus answered," I love how Jesus answered, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.'" Yeah, I just love this. And Jesus goes, and Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." I just love Jesus. Verse 28 says, and then, okay, now we're going to go to verse 28. Now, I know we have in our Bibles, you know, we have verses to help us, you know, all that, to find references and everything, which is cool. But I just want you to know this was a book, so it wasn't written with chapters and verses, right? So this is continual thought, right? Because Jesus says, when you look at verse 31, he says, and he answered them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." All right, do you see right there, neither, right before neither, the end is the quotations, right? Okay, that continues. There's more to come, all right? Because it doesn't end after things. So verse 28 says, "But what do you think?" And so he's basically telling them again, what are you thinking about authority? He said, "A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go." And so Jesus says, "Which of these two did the will of his father?" Now Jesus, neither one of these two sons, they're not Jesus. Okay, I hope you see that. They're not Jesus, this parable. One of them, he's talking about the tax collectors and the harlots and all that. And the other one, he's talking about the other son is the religious people of the day, the Pharisees. And so Jesus in verse 31 says, "Which of the two did the will of his father?" So Jesus has got him now. "And they said to him, 'The first.' And Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots entered to the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." Wow. You can't stump Jesus. Amen? Now, I read all that to tell you this next slide, because all of that, and I encourage you to go back home and read this today, Matthew 21, verses 18 through 32. But everything that Jesus said right there with the fig tree, with the disciples, with the Pharisees, and the parable of the two sons, he's telling us, how do we get it? How do we get that authority like Jesus did with the fig tree? And they were asking him, how do you do all these things? Where does this authority come from? You get authority from the Father by repenting and doing the will of the Father in your life. I'm going to sum up this whole, what I just read. You get authority from the Father by hearing his voice. You hear his voice by putting yourself in a position to hear his voice. And that's how do you get it. Every believer can do this. It's not just for a select few. Everybody said? Okay. Going right along because I got to go quickly. We could spend a lot of time on each one of these. How do we lose it? Okay. I'm hoping I'm proving to you that you got it. If you're a believer, you have it. you get it by repenting and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he gives you his authority. He gives you his name to use in the earth, something that you grow in. But how do we lose it? Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. All these are powerful, but I love this passage of Scripture about the Roman centurion. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof.'" This is powerful, guys. "But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel." Not even amongst my own people. This is a Roman centurion. He gets it. He gets it. And by the way, that person was healed by the words of Jesus, because that man understood authority. He understood authority. All right, aren't you glad you came to church today? Okay, everybody teachable? Okay, because I'm fixing to hit on a nerve here. But this, I'm fixing to show you a scripture that has been taken out of context so much and has divided genders, male and female, this scripture that I'm about to show you. But it's in the Word of God. God put it there for a reason, and it's about this subject that we're on called authority. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And I'm telling you, people have taken this out of context so bad and try to, well, Mark and Carrie, I've got to use you guys this morning. I just got to. I just keep looking over here at you guys. Mark's like, "Yep, just bring it, Pastor." Mark, and they love me, and they'll let me tell this story. Mark and Carrie were having a little tiff one time. If you're married or in a relationship, you ever had a little tiff? No, never. Janice and Leroy, they're angels. They never had one. But Mark and Carrie confessed to me one time. We were having a little tiff, and Mark just opened up his Bible and just said, "The Word says that you're submit to me. Read it." Okay. I've tried to do that too, Mark. It don't work. It doesn't work. The Word doesn't work that way. But what the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthian church, the Corinthian church was a powerhouse church, a charismatic church, full of the Holy Spirit, but they had a lot of things out of order. And so the Apostle Paul, being the apostle that he was in there getting everything with his authority in Christ, getting everything back in order. So he was telling them, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ." I can stop right there and tell you that in a home, the man has a huge responsibility. Your head, and whenever in the Greek, the word head means source. Your source is to be Christ. If the man, I'm telling you, if the man gets right with God, the whole house lines up. You know, because it's the authority of God. The head of woman is a man. So the source of woman is man. If you go back to the book of Genesis, woman came out of man, right? Okay, that's how the creation story. So the source of woman is man. And what that means is it's not that you're to lord it over her. You're not her lord and all that. You can't say, you know, well, I've even tried to use this scripture on Jada. Well, you know, Sarah called Abraham Lord, you know. She goes, "That's the Old Testament. That ain't happening today." But see, that's not the way you use scripture either. And so, but the source of woman is man. And so men, we're to, I'm going to use the policeman terminology. We're to protect and serve our spouses. That's what our responsibility is. In fact, we're not lording it over them. We're underneath of them, helping them reach their full potential and all that God created them to be, and protecting and serving them. And when you do that, there isn't a woman in the world that doesn't want a man of God like that. And everybody said, and all the ladies said, amen. All right, so this is what the Apostle Paul's teaching there. And then he goes on to say, the source of Christ is God. So God, you know, Jesus' source is the Father. And that's the chain of command that's supposed to be happening in homes. Then he goes on down to verse 10, and he says, for this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. And I'm going to tell you what, I know some of you in here study the Word of God and get into all the commentaries. I love to do that myself. But when you go and look up this scripture and read commentaries, they do not understand why there's that comma and it says because of the angels. No comment, they'll just tell you, I don't know why that's there. And it's very simple, and I wrote it down there for you, because angels understand authority. They understand it. They understand God's hierarchy and God's kingdom. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, in our nation today, and even in our community, there are homes out of order. They're not operating like this. We've got, even in churches, I mean, even Christian people, we got teenagers running homes. That ain't the order. Amen? All right? It's mom and dad working together, and you're equal in this. In fact, the man is underneath Jesus, and he's underneath the woman protecting and serving her and his children. And the man has a huge responsibility in leading the home. More men need to be in church today, leading their families spiritually, praying with their families. Jade has told me, I don't know how many times she's told me in our married life, she said, honey, the most secure I feel is when you pray over me and over everything that we're going through and facing. And when you pray at night, you know, we'll pray. In the mornings, we'll pray. And she goes, when you pray for me, there's just something God uses that to fill my need of security, because a woman's number one need is security. All right. Now let's keep going. So that's talking about the home. Now we're going to talk about government. I'm not going to get real political today, but I will say this. Not every Republican's going to heaven and every Democrat going to hell. Amen. Okay, so that's the kind of division that we're facing today in our nation. It is so divided. I don't care what your political opinions are. We're all covered under the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we can't let that divisive spirit, because the world is in chaos right now, a lot of divisiveness going on, and is trying to infiltrate into our homes and into our churches. And we have the authority to stop it. So Romans 13, verses 1 through 2. Do I agree with everything the government's doing? No, I don't. All right? But let me read this scripture. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. When you're in rebellion, you, whether it's in your home, at work, government, whatever, when you're in rebellion, you just open yourself up for the enemy just to attack you. You're not undercover. You're just opening yourself up. And I had a pastor's meeting this week, and we talked about this scripture, because there's lots of things going on, you know, in the church today. And we're all talking about, okay, we don't want to do what we did in 1960, because we do have a voice and we have authority. We don't want them to come in here and take prayer out of school, because we didn't stand up and we didn't use our voice. We just let it happen. We didn't use our authority. So we were talking the other day, and a pastor brought up something, two different things. He said, I want to ask you a question. What are we going to do if they try to take away the church's 501c3 and people that give to ministries the tax benefit, you know, the tax write-off? What if they take that all the way? And I love the pastor's response. He said, let them have it. Let them have it, because the government instituted that anyway. It wasn't from God. You know, and that's not the reason you should be given anyway. Everybody said amen. That's not even scriptural anyway. So, but then he said, okay, but here's number two, okay? Number two is, what if they say that we can't start assembling ourselves together as a church? That's when we stand up. That's when we have a voice. So there's a time to stand up, a time to sit down, is what I'm trying to say. And there's a time to use that authority that Christ has given us. There's a time that we don't. But we have to know when to do it. Amen? We have to have the wisdom of God to know when. And the reason why a lot of people are bringing judgment on themselves is this scripture right here, 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. All right? Guys, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and adultery. And everybody said, I'm telling you, that's the Word of God. And, you know, my grandson, Jarek, right now is learning authority structure, you know, and he's stubborn. He can be rebellious. And the Bible teaches, and I've told Taya, Taya's like, Dad, I just wear him out. And when I bust his hiney, he just gets madder. And I said, well, you better start praying, Mama, you know. Covering him. And, of course, Jade and I are praying too. But that's where it starts then. That's where you correct that behavior then. And she's reading and studying everything, and she goes, I just don't want to be that mom just rocking around just paddling. Well, I was like, you might have to, you know, for because it's scriptural. Spare the rod, you know. I mean, you look at Proverbs. Rebellion's bound up in the heart of a child, you know. You beat it out of him. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what the Word says. Really, it does. I have to give you that scripture sometime, but it does say that. But it starts young. It starts young so that they understand authority. Because if you let them get older, then they're teenagers just rebelling against everything, and then they wonder why life ain't going good for them. Because you're rebelling against everybody, and you're stubborn. And then life's not going to go good for you. You can come to church every Sunday and give your tithe, but if you're stubborn and rebellious, life ain't going to work. It's just not going to work because you're not in that authority structure. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Basically what this is saying is say yes to God, no to the devil. When you say yes to God, the devil has to flee, okay? But a lot of people, when they quote this scripture, they'll say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The key is submission to God's authority, and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, now here, the last one is how do we use it? And then I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. The last one is how do we use it? And you're a believer, you can use the name of Jesus anytime. If you're a believer, he wants you to grow in that. Know the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Use it in prayer. Use it in your marriage. Use it in your family. Use it in your finances. Use it. Learn to operate in God's authority, your life, and things will go well. 2 Corinthians 13:10 says, the Apostle Paul, again to the Corinthians, says, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me, for edification and not for destruction. Basically, every time when authority is used, even though that you may have to be firm or sharp or whatever, it's for someone's edification. It's for somebody's benefit. God's authority was placed into existence for our benefit, not to hurt us or to harm us, but to help us and help us to be victorious in life. And then he gives that authority to us in Genesis 4:7, and then you can also write this scripture down, Ephesians 4:27. But Genesis 4:7, this is when God is speaking to Cain. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you, he tells him, God ain't going to do it for you, but you should rule over it. You should have authority over sin in your life. Stop it in Jesus' name. Stop it in his tracks. Ephesians 4:27 is the New Testament version of this scripture, and it says, neither give place to the devil. Don't open a door to him. You know, that old saying, give the enemy an inch, he'll be the ruler of your life. That's true. Don't give him any space. Shut the doors. Now, I'm gonna share a couple of stories, one in church, one in my personal life, all right, of using God's authority and the authority that you walk in. God, whether you like it or not, I'm going to say it like that, God put me in place as a pastor here. I know most of you in here love me. I just had to throw that in. God put me in place here to be the pastor. And so it's my responsibility. And y'all, please pray for me. You know, if you ever had that thought of Pastor Mark missed it, well, maybe I did, so pray for me, okay? But and I appreciate your prayers. We all need to be praying for one another. And I especially covet your prayers, because I don't take this position lightly in teaching people God's word, and because the Bible even says in James, I'm under stricter judgment for doing it, for teaching the word. But there was a situation that happened in church, and so God put me here as the authority. And there was a lot of times in my early in ministry, I just God would give me prophetic words. Mark, I've called you. Mark, I've anointed you. I've anointed you to do this. And I was constantly in my heart. I wasn't doing it in my actions, but in my heart, I was running. I was scared. I'll be honest with you. I don't want this responsibility, God. I want to be in the sound booth. I don't want to be up in front of people teaching the word of God because of the responsibility and everything. And God kept encouraging me with prophetic, you're called. I've placed you in this position. You're going to have to start using your authority. And just one day, kind of just, you know, let me know, I'm not going to give you another prophetic word to encourage you. I've given you enough to let you know that you're called. Now start doing it. That's the kind of relationship I have with God. I said, okay, yes, sir, I'm going to start doing it. So I started, and as I did, as I stepped into that by faith, because I sure didn't feel it, by faith, I started, and things, I would have to make decisions and do things. I saw the authority growing, okay? And you can have this happen in your own personal life, too. And so I was here at the church. Mark was with me. Mark will remember this story. And we had ministry time up here. And because I'm the pastor, one of my main responsibilities is to guard the atmosphere that's in this place. That's one of my main callings. And it's not just to teach the word, but to guard the atmosphere. That particular morning, it's been years ago, person's not here, so nobody look around and fight. In fact, I'm going to say this. Our fight is not against flesh and blood anyway, is what Ephesians says. In fact, if you want to really understand authority, go read the whole book of Ephesians and just keep reading it. Those prayers that Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers. He's praying them over us as well, that we'd understand who we are in Christ. And that particular Sunday, we had ministry time up here at the end of the message, and I just knew something was off. Something was not right. And I didn't call attention to it. You know, nobody in the church even knew. But after the service was over with, I had somebody in our congregation come up to me and just confirm to me that something was off. And I already knew it. It confirmed to me. I was like, thank you for telling me that. This person that it was operating through left the church. But then they came back. After everybody had left, this person came back. And Mark and I met them outside. And she thought that she had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I was ministering to her. And as I walked up to her and started praying with her, I'm praying in the Spirit. She's doing something that she thinks she's praying in the Spirit. It wasn't praying in the Spirit. And I knew on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit was going, this isn't me. This isn't me. This isn't me. Okay? And I was like, Lord, then what do I do? You know? And he said, well, you're a believer, right? This is all going real fast, right? I'm just slowing this down, this story. I said, yeah, I'm a believer. You're the pastor over this church, right? Yeah, and he said, well, it's time to use your authority. And I said, okay, well, you better show up. You know, these are the conversations I'm having with God while this is all going on. Mark's over there. Oh, and Mark doesn't see it in me, but I'm doing the same thing on the inside of me. And I start praying for this lady, and I start, I'm going to teach you something here about authority, okay? Because I am the pastor here, this happened on these grounds. I tried to cast the demon out of her because I had the inward witness from God above that I wasn't dealing with the Holy Spirit, I was dealing with something else. I can go into all that story, but all the Lord told me whenever I did, and you don't have to ask its name, okay, or any of that kind of stuff, if you've seen. It's an unclean spirit. It's demonic. Get rid of it in Jesus' name. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help this lady out. And anyway, and the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. He said, this is an ancient spirit. Well, that kind of threw me back. And this is all going on real quick. And all I knew is that's all God told me. That's all I needed to know. Basically, he was letting me know this has been in this bloodline, in this family for generations. So then I'm thinking, well, I haven't fasted lately. You know, Jesus said these didn't come out of a prayer and fasting. And so I try to start cast this demon out. And then a manifestation happens. The manifestation wasn't, I didn't hear this, you know, audible voice, you know, a demonic voice or anything. But her response was very rebellious and very stubborn. And she was trying to tell me, she goes, no, I've got the Holy Spirit. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, you don't, because the Holy Spirit don't act like that. And she goes, well, I'm leaving. I said, okay. And I said, and she basically was letting me know, I want this. Now, here's the deal. You can't override free will. She wanted that. I wanted to help her get free. She needed to get free. But she didn't want it. She wanted that. And she says, well, I'm leaving. And I told her, and this is Pastor Mark, I've never done this before. I pray to God that I never have to do it again, because it goes everything against everything. I'm not like this person. But I told her, I said, and don't come back in Jesus' name. And she said, oh, I'm going to be back next Sunday. I said, no, you're not. And that was their conversation. She got in the car, and they took off. Husband was just getting the car to take off. And God told me, this house is out of order. Their home's out of everything. I don't even know them, but everything is out of order in that whole deal. And I had to tell some people that are in our church, on our leadership team, this person shows up, they're not coming in here, because it's a disruptive spirit. They don't want to be free. They're here to disrupt. But I'm not dealing with the person. I'm dealing with a spirit. Everybody understand that? I want that person to get free, and I pray that she does get free. I pray a seed was sown that day where she'll eventually get free. And that happened here at our church. It's been many years ago in this building. But I'm trying to teach you about authority. I had that authority because I'm the pastor here, but I couldn't cast that demon out because she wanted it there. And you can't override free will, all right? You can't do that. The next story is in my own personal life. And God really wants you using this authority in your own personal life and in your home. And so, and yeah, you may have encounters like I had. Some of you have, I know, in here have had encounters like that. And you was able to help somebody get free. I have stories of helping people get free. But I just wanted to share that story because you can't override free will. You just can't. I don't care how anointed you are. Jesus himself can't do it. Okay, because that's the chain of command. This last story that I want to share with you, and some of you have heard this before, and it's in our book, Hope Beyond Brokenness, that Jade and I wrote together, and Taya's also got a chapter in there. And every year at this time, we give it out to families to help, and we've had lots of, you know, stories from people that it's really helped them during their grieving process. But there's one story in there, because if you've ever any kind of grief, any kind of loss, but especially the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child. There was a situation in our home right after this happened where a spirit of fear came in a tremendous way. I can't even just, and I'll never forget it. There was one day Jada looked at me. It was consuming me. It was consuming her. It was consuming our thoughts. It was getting in our home. I knew it was coming in. I didn't like it because I'm the head of the household. I want to get this thing out of here. And Jada looked at me one day, and I'll never forget this, and she had tears in her eyes. And because most of you know her story, she's had a lot of death in her family, and she looked at me and she said, Mark, who's next? Who's next? And I felt her fear. I was feeling the same thing. I'm trying to, stay strong for her, for us, for the whole situation. And I kept thinking, the scripture, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, didn't come from God, but he's given me a spirit of power, that authority of love and a sound mind. And I'm telling you what, when a spirit of fear gets starting in on you, your thought life goes nuts, goes crazy. You don't think right. You don't make good decisions and all those things. But we knew we had, one of the decisions that we had to make was Taya had a tonsil surgery coming up, and my daughter had inherited my tonsils. I had mine out at 38. It's better to do it when you're 4 instead of 38. I can just tell you that right now. And so she had a surgery scheduled before this had ever happened with Jaden, and Taya had sleep apnea because of the tonsils. We could have postponed it and everything. Jaden and I prayed about it. We talked with some people. We talked to even Taya. We felt like we need to go ahead and go through with it. She needs this surgery. This was only like a month or two after Jaden had passed. So I am battling fear like crazy, trying not to show it to Jada. we're going to stay the night at the same hotel that we'd went with Jaden before he had passed away. And when I walk up to the front desk, the lady gives me the room number, and it is the same exact room that we had stayed in with Jaden. And I know I turned white because the lady said, "Mr. Haynes, is everything okay?" And I was like, yeah, it's all right. Because at first I was like, I need to switch rooms, you know. And we could have done that and have been fine. But I was just like, man, this spirit of fear is, oh, man, I was righteous anger was building up in me. And so I walked outside and I told Jada, I said that we have the same room that we were in with Jaden. I said, "Do you want me to go tell him to change it?" She said, "No, let's don't." And so we go into that room. I'll never forget this moment. We knelt down at the bed. It was a pivotal moment after all this had happened with us. We knelt down by that hotel bed with Taya because we were praying over her for her surgery the next morning, so we had to get up early. And I was praying and binding up this spirit of fear that had come in and telling it to get out in Jesus' name. And we got up the next morning, and I just love how God, you know, I used my authority. God came in, and I'm not going to say that I didn't have fear the next morning when we went to the hospital, because I was still battling, but I was still quoting that scripture. That's why you got to have scripture as your arsenal. And for God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but love and power and sound mind. And thank God, I'll never forget this man as long as I live, but he was a doctor, ear, nose, and throat doctor. His name's Dr. Dyer, and he's a Christian. And he come in there, and he prayed with us before we went into surgery. I can't tell you how comforting that is when you have a doctor pray for you right before surgery. And then God had answered a prayer over Taya. This little girl was at complete peace. Now, Mom and Dad were a wreck, but God had answered our prayer, and she was at complete peace. And she was just you know, talking to all the doctors and nurses. And one of the doctors came in that was going to give her the anesthesia and everything. He said, "Young lady, are you ready to go?" And she goes, "Let's go." I was like, "Wow, thank you, Jesus." Surgery went fine. We got home. She's doing great today, you know. But I'm telling you that story because I know a lot of you in here, a lot of people, that this spirit, the spirit of fear, battles a lot of people in their marriage, in their home, in their finances, on their job, all that. You have authority in the name of Jesus to bind that spirit up and tell it to go in Jesus' name. And as a pastor, I'll come and bless your home, but I want to teach you something. You have more authority than I do in your own home. Yeah, if you had me come bless your home, that basically says you're delegating to me that authority to come in and bless my home. And I'll gladly do that. I've done that before. But I want to teach you that you have that authority in your home to close those doors in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Everybody learned something today? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And we do this every Sunday here at church after I teach the Word of God. I want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We do this because we broadcast this also on radio and it also online everywhere. And so I just want to make sure that people know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the most important decision, is coming to the cross, but don't just stay there at the cross and receive your salvation. Then we go to the burial, the resurrection, you know, the ascension, Pentecost, you know, then the throne. And that's where we receive that authority to walk in life, the authority of the believer. And so I want to lead you in this prayer because the Bible says in Romans 10, says, "Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead." Then it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, "Amen." If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, your very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And even if you have prayed that prayer before and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never been baptized, you need to do that. That's your next step of coming under authority, under Jesus' lordship in your life, okay? And we can do that next Sunday. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here. And if you need special prayer, I want you to always know, if you need special prayer, I'm always here, Jay and I are always here after church to do that. But I'm going to go ahead and dismiss with this blessing. Jada, will you come up here? And Jada and I, we'd love to bless you guys, so we're going to speak this blessing over you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck, give them a high five, fist bump, and tell them they have authority in the name of Jesus. Good God Almighty.